normally Councillor Filmer would chair the meeting. So unless somebody really would like to chair the meeting, I could start it.
Yep, it's good with me.
Yep.
Okay. We've got the, I'll call the meeting to order. We've got the agenda. Any changes to the agenda?
I have one item that I would like to add to the agenda.
Sure, go ahead, Peter.
It was under the classification of microforests.
Oh, yes, I saw a note about that.
Okay.
So we'll add that to new business.
Okay.
Anything else, gentlemen, ladies? I don't even know who actually is all on this honors committee.
Well, there's Martin is on it, but we haven't seen him for a while. Okay. And Margaret, I don't know where Margaret is. Margaret should be here.
Yes, I remember Lady Margaret there. Okay. Well, we'll work with whoever's here. So any further changes to the agenda? Then the agenda is adopted by consent as amended.
Yep.
The minutes. There were minutes from November 18th meeting. Any errors or omissions in the minutes? Hearing none, then those minutes are approved.
Oh, I just had one.
Okay.
For me to, you'll notice update from staff. It was under new business CB. R. Ferguson provided ideas to improve the aesthetic appeal of the locomotive. That was actually already provided many months ago by this committee, so it wasn't from me. It was. I just don't know if that needs to be corrected or not. But it was a motion the committee put forward.
Yeah.
Many that months was- ago. And we were just looking for an update.
That was over a year ago. Yeah.
So we'll delete that from the minutes.
Sure. Or just clarify, it just wasn't necessarily just from an individual. It was just an update from the committee.
Okay. Bernadette, can you correct it accordingly?
Certainly, yes.
Okay, thank you. So that was the business of writing from the minutes regarding the locomotive, correct?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
That's what this was about. Okay.
Yep.
So there's no other business arising in the minutes. The recommendation from council, and you've got it there from the December 9th meeting, that the SLED Committee on Parks and Recreation be directed to work independently. So what we're trying to say is, obviously, this group has a keen interest and very passionate about trails and so on, and also regarding closures. So we would like to work, see this committee work independently and provide us with advice on that particular item. I don't know if you want to do that today because it was on the agenda, or whether you want to talk about it some more before we take any direction or any motions to council.
Well, Tunis, they don't have a policy, do they? I think it's just the person who looks after the parks and that. Goes out, takes a look, and then makes an assessment.
Yeah, and you probably know more about it than most, Dan. So would you like to take the lead on where you think this should go?
Well, in the terms of the field, but I think somebody else should go into the terms of trails, because the fields I know very well.
Yeah.
I know a number of the user groups, and I don't think we just have to gather the information from them and find out about the user groups and also talk to, who's looking after the fields now? Tony used to.
I think he's probably still the contact, but anything that you want to pass on, if you send it to Daniel, he'll make sure the appropriate staff will get it.
Right.
I wonder if I could have a couple of questions, because I saw this, and to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed in the response, because the concern from the committee was the fact that we didn't have a policy or procedure, right? We needed a policy and procedure. And how I read this was, okay, go ahead and design a policy and procedure. And that's an administrative task. That's actually pretty, you know, that takes skill, right? And so I see the role of this council or this committee anyways, providing input and advice to that task, not to actually take the responsibility to do it. Useful if we had something to provide advice to rather than starting with nothing.
Okay. That's a fair comment. And I think what I would do, I would ask council to direct staff to prepare a draft policy mm-hmm. and then bring it back to the committee. And in the meantime, Dan okay. and others will have some feedback from the different user groups. And then we'll come up with something that we can work on together.
I think that would be an excellent way forward, and we'd end up with the document that is useful. Okay. I've reached out to the RDN and the city to see if they have something similar. I did a quick scan this morning on Burnaby, Pitt Meadows, and Victoria. So there are other examples out there of this type of work.
That's best practice. Look at, if you can look at some of these other areas that you think have a good policy in place regarding, in this particular case, a trail closure, take it to the next meeting, send it to Bernadette. She'll copy it to everybody, and we got something to talk about.
Thank you.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel, as they say, Martin. If you come up, if you find something that you think would be suitable for us, that's wonderful.
Looking at, like, for example, the Burnaby complex there.
Yeah.
Field policy is very simple. See, closed, open, or user discretion is basically what it has been, what it says there on their site. So, but we have different. Do you close the field when there's snow and people want to toboggan on it, okay? Et cetera. So there's other aspects of it we have to look into.
Oh, absolutely. I remember one time I got a call at home from a very irate taxpayer. He saw the ball field lights on when it was snowing. And I said, well, that's because people are cross-country skiing on it.
Yes, that's right.
So,
because you know, I went out there and I said, why is it costing us money with the lights on? And then somebody told me, they said snowshoeing or something like that. So
snowshoeing and cross-country, yeah.
That's outstanding. That's excellent.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know you guys are very up to speed on this, and that's why obviously you're on the committee. But if you can find other communities with good ideas, with policies, bylaws, put them all on the table with Bernadette, and we'll debate them. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I'll ask staff to put a draft policy out there regarding trail closure.
Is that a motion, Tunis? Sorry, is that a motion?
I think that could be made into a motion if someone would like to move that we request that staff prepare a draft policy on field and trail closure.
Yeah, happy I'll make that motion.
There you go, Peter. Happy to second it for Peter.
Could I just ask a question about that? Does that increase the workload of staff to be out there? If, say, there's a snowfall, do they have to be there to ensure that nobody damages the field? Or heavy rains, but what happens there?
Well, that's up to the procedure.
No, they close it on Friday and leave it.
Yeah, we've been running these fields for a long time, as long as I can remember, and most people are very, very good about not using the fields.
Users do look after it, Tunis.
Yeah, so I'm not too concerned that staff has to police that.
Yep. Okay,
it's basically a complaint based.
Yeah.
Well, okay. To be fair, though, however, no, it's larger than that. That we've had some significant wind storms, and we have trail systems through mature forests that pose a hazard. So this could be quite. The RDN does this already. They could put a sign up that's saying trail closed due to unsafe conditions. Put it up in the morning and take it down at the end.
Yeah, and I've seen that. The trail that I use a lot is from Arbutus to the museum. Mm-hmm. And also the trail down by Grandin Creek. And I've seen mm-hmm. signs up on both when there was a windstorm and actually some trees did come down on. So, but we'll work on this. We've got a motion now, and I'll explain to council that the members of the committee will also provide input and find examples of policies that may be applicable. Okay. All right. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, if any? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you. Then we have the status of recommendations to council. Any questions, comments about that? Okay. I think they're pretty well self-explanatory. Since we have a former deputy fire chief, he convinced us that we shouldn't be painting fire hydrants. So
fair enough.
They said, when we're going out there and we're in a hurry to find where the next fire hydrant is to put out a fire, we don't want to be confused with art. Anyway.
Just an addendum to that one. I wasn't meaning to have the whole fire hydrant painted. I just wanted a sea creature, you know, some point of interest on the front of the fire hydrant. So it still looked like a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
But I think the mayor misconstrued what I was trying to get at there. But anyhow, it's okay. A dead issue. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought actually there are some other boxes, hydro boxes.
Yes.
I've seen them in other communities where they have put art on them.
Yes.
So we should take another look at that and what boxes, whatever installations could be used, because I noticed that when there is actually art on these objects, that we don't get a graffiti on them.
Right.
It seems that people who put graffiti out respect the artwork of others. So there may be something about that.
And there's one other thing. You can put it on the concrete dividers, like outside the Berwick, opposite the town hall.
Yeah.
There's some very large dividers which could be beautified.
Okay.
So that's another thing that you could consider.
Okay. Well, prepare a motion that we can consider as a committee as to what locations and what type of art, and be a little more specific, because you may be right. Maybe with the fire hydrants, we didn't know exactly what was meant. But if we come up with a clearer description of what you're looking for, Peter, we can consider that, because I like the idea. Okay, so then, what is it? That's the last one is that Select Committee on Parks and Recreation recommends the council staff ready to provide outstanding items. And I don't think that was going anywhere. Luke, do you remember what that was?
I don't think Luke's with us.
Unless he's a Zoom user.
Yeah, no, he's on. He's there.
I started to speak. I was muted. So the outstanding items, you're referring to the waterfront master plan issue?
Correct.
Yeah. So council didn't direct staff to take it on at this time. Right? There was some concern about the amount of work that would be required. So it was not passed.
Okay. Yes, I remember we didn't pass it, but I just wanted to ask you to give us the reason what it was, and you've given that. So that's fine. Okay. Then there is the new business. Peter, what's up with the forest? I like the idea of what you put up.
Well, it's called a microforest.
Microforest.
Small forest.
Yeah.
But anyhow, this is not an original idea. It's been around for quite some time. But anyhow, if you're asking what a microforest is, it's a small plot of land with a carefully prepared nutrient base, which is densely populated with shrubs and trees and natural forests. What I want to say about it, you're going to ask about the benefits of this. It increases the carbon sink, which I think we need, given the fact that we're cutting a lot of trees down. It increases the songbird population and all the elements of the ecosystem. And it can be used as a tool for students for our teaching demo. It grows very quickly, about 10 times faster than regular forests do. And it's also 10 times more dense. And you can put a pathway through them depending on the size of these. Now, you're going to ask about the size. It can be as small as a tennis court.
Yes,
I think there's probably sorry?
Yeah, I saw it in the notes.
Okay. It can be as small as a tennis court, but I think it's it depends on the area that's available. I certainly have some ideas in town where one could be placed if that was the direction of council. They're becoming very popular worldwide. They're in Malaysia, Netherlands, and France in terms of thousands of these things. And I would think it's probably not an urgent matter, obviously, but I think it probably is worth consideration as we go through the year. So anyhow, that's a summary. I've done more research on these things, but they seem to be very beneficial.
So Peter, they grow, go ahead.
They grow very, very quickly. And like you can get a small forest in there within 5 years, you know, up to not fully mature, obviously, but the speed at which the forest densifies is related to the base that's put in there. So they actually excavate, you know, in some of the cases, they excavate down about 2 or 3 feet and put on a very nutritious base of core fiber and various other things that are natural and work from there. It would probably require watering for the first year, and thereafter you don't have to do anything. So anyhow, that's the suggestion.
So did you have a location or locations in mind, Peter, for this?
I thought up on the, near the commons, somewhere up there would be a nice spot, but it depends on what you have available. They can be pretty darn small. I don't know. I think it also depends what's happening with the ENN line. I think there's some spots down there that could promote usage of walkways. But I kind of like the idea in general. I don't think they're very expensive. One of the other things, too, is they're very dense. They you plant about 3 to 4 trees or shrubs within 1 square meter. So they and they grow quickly. Anyhow, food for thought.
When I first saw it, I thought maybe you had a place in mind where the big pond is along the ring road. There's a large grassy field.
And oh, yeah. Yes.
Is it something like a spot like that? Because that's a lot of traffic. A lot of people would see that.
Yeah.
It would absorb some of the gas as people come up that hill.
You see
a lot of trucks emitting.
You're talking about Laburnum here. The base of Laburnum. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So who would plant the trees? Would that be volunteer-based, or would that have to be done by...
They have been volunteer-based generally, yes. So it wouldn't be a heavy burden for the taxpayer. But that's...
Something like this. I used to work as mayor with a couple of schools, classrooms. Different teachers had different interests, but they would be involved in something like this. I used to work with a teacher, Mrs. Waters. And very proactive, hands-on. I think there may be somebody in the school system or a service club that would say, let's work together on this.
Okay. My experience with stream keepers for 22 years is that it's very difficult to get students on a project like this. Mm. That's not to be a negative thing, but we've always tried to have we would have liked to have had a teacher in the school system that has a lot of drive. But anyhow, leave it there.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll bring it up and I'll ask council to think about it.
Yep.
And then if you would put this together, kind of like a one-page memo that I can share with council, that would be helpful, Peter.
Yep, I can do that. Yep.
Thank you.
Just voice a comment in support of that? I think it's a great idea. The Laburnum area is interesting, but it's bounded on forests on all sides that are heavily used already. So it's kind of might be the risk of redundancy in that space.
Possibly,
but I really appreciated your point about the commons, Peter. And, you know, if we think about it, the row of houses that are relatively new there, that was forest land at one point. That was a pretty dense forest.
Yep.
So I like the idea of replacing forests, or you know, putting trees back into the center of town somehow, if there's a possibility there.
Uh-huh.
And now might be a time to think about that, or perhaps as part of the other development area, the East Village area. But something about putting forests back into our downtown core. If like you say, Peter, they're relatively small footprint, might be a really nice pace and enhance the visitor attraction, amenity attraction for the town as well.
Yep.
And we're also looking at green space, like at the bus garage site, it's still called the bus garage site. As you know, we sold half of that property to Naked Naturals, but the other half is still available for, I always picture some kind of a village green. And so this may be an element of so-called village green on that site, instead of having all pavement. I'd like to see some green space there. So that may be another spot. Commons and bus garage site. I'll bring that forward, Peter. Once you give me the lowdown through a memo as what you had in mind, then I'll see if I get some interest for that.
I would think an excellent spot would be the northwest corner of that, right opposite the liquor store parking there on the south side, right where those trees are, if those trees ever came down. Right now it'd have to be modified, so I don't know. Probably wouldn't be worthwhile to take out existing trees to put this thing in. You'd have to use spare land for that.
Yeah. Well, there's that fenced-in area that used to have the used to host the tent for Barter Broadway.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
So, Luke, any thoughts on this?
I think we have to look into it.
I think it's
a very good idea, and I support it wholeheartedly, especially when we could get into a lot of other houses being developed or condominiums or that in the downtown. We should add something which is educational, which Peter is saying, and would at least break that high density which may occur there.
Thanks, Dan. Luke, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think we can look at all these options. I've read about the microforesting. It's very fascinating. I haven't seen it at a local level, so I don't know exactly what it means in terms of ongoing maintenance requirements or whatnot. Certainly the Qualicum Commons has a lot of opportunity. I don't know if the Fern Roadside is the right place for a forest, but I think we can keep all the options on the table as we look for these sites. I do really like the approach of identifying areas that have been, maybe disturbed through development or construction activities and, doing it there. The spot that popped to my mind actually was at the intersection of Village Way and Memorial. So we planted the specimen tree.
Yeah.
But if you go east of the specimen tree, there's a pretty extensive kind of steepish bank there that used to have a lot of trees, right?
Yeah.
So that would be another interesting spot where you could potentially plant it.
Okay. Well, that's really good. Just off the top of our heads, we come up with some pretty good sites that seem reasonable and practical. So thank you very much for bringing that forward, Peter.
Welcome.
Okay. So if you send me a memo, then Luke and I can speak to it at a future council meeting.
You're welcome. Yeah.
So we'll just put it on record for a motion that council look into the idea, the concept of having microforest in particular and appropriate spots somewhere in the commercial core or village neighborhood. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, that's just fine. One other spot. I don't know. You know the sixth fairway on Memorial. You know that little triangular area off to the side?
Yeah.
Not being used for anything except for Jenny Brown.
Well, that's important. That was a commitment we made, but there is room besides it. But like Martin said, there's already forest all around there with the Heritage Forest. I think bringing it into where there's a lot of pavement right now.
I would agree. Yep.
That's I think that really appeals to me.
Okay.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. This is a good conversation, and we'll see how we can move it forward. Luke is going to embark on with a work group on what's going to happen with the bus garage, and perhaps this can be considered as one of the mix. Thank you. Next item is the roundtable. Were there any other thoughts, ideas that you'd like to discuss? Anyone?
Tunis, what's the state of the Parks and Rec re-turfing the field there. It's a very expensive project. I mean, it's over $4 million.
Yeah.
What are your feelings on?
Well, my feelings are that it's probably going to be very difficult to get a grant for that. For the size of town that we have, to apart from the fact whether I like the idea or not, but the idea, and this is council's decision, so I'm going to speak on behalf of council on this. Council would like to see that as a developed artificial turf field. It's not our number one priority, but even so, for the provincial government to give out, I think, $3.5 million for one project in a fairly small community compared to the money that is available for the whole province, that seems out of sync. That's just my take on it. But stranger things have happened, and maybe we'll see something move forward. Whether I like it or not, I'm not going to discuss that. But I know we'll be applying for grants. And Luke, you probably know more details about that. Can you speak to it?
Yeah, so we haven't heard back from the province on the turf field. We're waiting from them on a number of grants right now. So for everyone we've heard back on, we're still waiting for a response on two more. So I don't know what the timeline is.
Okay. So there you have it, Peter.
Okay.
Anything else, gentlemen, for the roundtable?
I wonder if I could just take a second and just flag the feasibility study that Parksville's done for the new swimming pool and multi-use center.
Yeah.
And it just, which is great, good to see some energy and attention devoted to increasing the amenities in the area, but it just highlighted to me the fractured nature of recreation services in our community between the RDN and the two municipalities. And there's a risk in thinning out the attention, right? And we only have so many opportunity costs. So I'm just putting it out there as a bit of a concern. Mm. And of course, this committee and yourself is our link to the RDN in terms of recreation. So, I think there's a need, but how do we do that collectively? Or is it time to maybe mature as independent municipalities? You know, there's a crossroads coming at some point, and we either collaborate more closely or go divergent paths.
Yeah, well, I don't know if any of you had an input on the regional district recreation plan. Very expansive, lots of input, and we came up with a number of recommendations. And the top one, as far as I'm concerned, is to add on to the pool in Qualicum Beach from a regional perspective. Parksville did not go through the regional perspective when they did this plan. This is Parksville's city's plan. They didn't involve the regional district or Qualicum Beach. This was their thing. So the risk that I think they're taking is if they go on their own, they also would end up paying on their own, because we were never part of that. And unless you're part of a function, you don't have to pay into it. Well, that pool is not created as part of the overall strategic plan that we had for recreation in our Oceanside area. So I'm very dubious about how this is going to pan out. I think the idea looks great. And if they have another pool, I don't think we need to add to our pool. So I would save money. But I think if they went for a referendum on how they're going to pay for it, I don't think they're going to get the support they need. I think Area F, Area H, Qualicum Beach, Area G maybe wouldn't vote for that. It's going to be a huge bill. From what I've seen, we had a tour of pools and how to expand on them. It would be, from what I've seen, you're looking at, I'd say, $30 million. So when people talk about ideas, they think it's great until they realize how much it's going to cost. And the cost of maintaining pools is also very high. There's a huge risk factor, insurance. There's all kinds of other things they want to put in there. We'll see. It's their thing. So I don't want to say don't do it. If they're going to pay for it, then that's a great thing. But if they decide on everything and they make all the decisions, then so by the way, you guys all have to pay for it. Well, I don't think that's fair. That wouldn't be appropriate.
Yeah, I would concur. And in the meantime, as you rightly said, we had some momentum about Ravensong improvements.
Yeah.
And then it stalled right out because of this other conversation. And so the risk is that the that momentum loses even longer. So I don't have the solution in any respect. It's just as a somewhat informed and vested interest, it's disappointing. And I'd hate to see us lose momentum because there is a need. There's no question.
Yeah. Yeah, so I totally agree. This came out of, this new council, because the previous council was part of the overall plan and they agreed to it. We've always, going back in history, and some of you may know that it was an understanding, like you talk about working together with municipalities, that Parksville wanted the arenas and we supported them. We supported the referendum. I was intimately involved in getting that arena there. And Qualicum Beach would have the pool. That's how originally how we were going to do it. And it were close enough that we don't need two or have both on each community. This is a departure from that. And maybe, like you say, it's time that they do go on their own because of the size and the growth that they have. So we'll see. Right now, we just can stand back and see how that works for them.
Tunis, how would you respond to a request from them to go through the RDN and have the Qualicum Beach involved in that project, because that would dump a lot of cost onto you?
Yeah, so they haven't yet, as far as I know, they haven't approached it. Our mayor is the chair of the Oceanside Service Committee, which includes recreation, mm-hmm. and we haven't been asked. We haven't been asked, as far as I know. Luke, I don't know if you've been asked whether we've been involved in any other planning of this or any input.
No, not in the least.
No, so they're basically on their own, and so I don't want to comment until I see a request.
Okay.
But I take a very dim view on them going ahead and then inviting us after the fact.
Well, they're going to when they see the bill.
Yeah. Well, you know what happens when you ask people in Qualicum Beach for money. You know, the old saying is they don't buy green bananas. They're not going to want to pay for a pool that they probably never use. Anyway, it's an interesting topic, and I'm watching it. Whenever I hear anything about it, I want to read about it. But we haven't been asked to be involved. As Luke said, the town has not been invited to participate. Anything else, gentlemen, on the round table?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Look forward to continue working with you. And the next meeting, well, unless Robert comes back, then of course I vacate and he takes on again. But the next meeting will be May 19th. And I just want to thank you for attending and allowing me to chair. It's been a slice.
Okay.
Enjoy the rest of your day, gentlemen.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Can we just get a motion to adjourn?
Oh, yeah. I guess we need a motion to adjourn. Who's still there?
Motion.
Okay, I hear Peter and I hear.
I'll go back.
Okay. You got the names, Bernie?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I know.
Take care, everybody.